Good morning and welcome to the Thursday edition of Byers & Company. City Hall Insider, former mayor of Decatur, publisher of the Decatur Tribune, Paul Osborne. Plus, we'll check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. It all starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. The man that started the whole conversation about the mayor's license plates joins us here today. We're not even really sure exactly what happened. Still, the fallout continues. This is kind of our Russia thing as we continue. Paul Osborne joins us in studios for years and years. And in fact, maybe you have a little more from John Dunn to explain even some of the more historical significance of these plates. The Decatur license plates that spell out the word of the city were always used by the mayor.
Right, yeah, and I talked to John Dunn when I put that article in the paper last week, and then we talked about it on the air, I think, last Thursday on this show. I expected a neighbor or someone to call and say, I know who has that plate.
Yeah,
and
no I one, saw Fred driving
yeah,
around with that.
I know where the plate is, and no one called, which is really unusual. And so John Dunn called me Monday, former state representative John Dunn, and he said, you know, that plate started with Gary Anderson, Mayor Gary Anderson. He said, I wanted that plate because I'm a state representative. And then I thought, well, yeah, the mayor should have that plate. So it started with Gary Anderson, and then it was handed down to each mayor.
So it goes back to the 1980s then.
Yeah, and so I always thought it was good. And I always thought when I saw whether it's Terry Halley or anyone else going around, I thought, that's kind of neat. The mayor, Decatur, the spokesperson for Decatur. So So John and I talked about the history of it, and then he just assumed I'd found it. And I said, I don't know where it is. And he said, let me check into that. He said, the Souchere or someone should be able to get that information from the Secretary of State's office.
Ah, so it wasn't even Sue's idea. It was John Don's idea.
Yeah, and I assume that happened because Souchere called me a couple hours later and said, I found the mayor's plate. I know you've been talking about
it. But what she really meant to say was the Secretary of State, after John Dunn called me and told me what to do, found the license plate.
Well, I don't know the details behind that, but she said, I'm on my way over there for something else, but said, I'm going to pick up the plate and give it to Mayor Julie.
All right, so that means what, the plate just expired and no one was using it?
Yeah, Pat Legler had that as mayor pro tem because Tuna, Mayor McElroy, never used the plate because he had Skeff's license plate. You know, that's his business.
Right.
That's what he did. And so the mayor pro tem was next in line, which was Pat Legler
at the time, right.
And Pat Legler left office at 2015. Well, Tuna had just been reelected. So somewhere in that, Tuna probably said, still, I've got to use the Skeff plate.
Yeah.
And maybe the city clerk at that time didn't know exactly what to do with it. So
all right. So there's no negligence. There's no foul play. It just sort of expired or whatever, or went back. But the good news is it's on the way to the mayor.
Yeah. And I think that's great. It's a small victory for mankind, I guess. But maybe
probably get a direct mail piece when Souchere runs for reelection.
I don't know. But I don't know. Sometimes it's the little things you can kind of find out and do. And I know when I see that plate on the mayor's car, I think, yeah, I feel good about that. That's where it should be, whether it's Julie, the next mayor. But maybe because of this, too, then the next mayor will receive the plate.
Yeah. It's a good tradition. And I'm glad you brought it up. And the power that you wield, Paul, today, it's absolutely amazing. All right, I got to ask you, you've known Bill Faber for a long time, and we have discussed Bill Faber's antics, his actions, his motivation many, many times over the years. I really struggle sometimes because if it's truly sort of a belief system that's just different than mine, I mean, I can be a guy who says, hey, we just agree to disagree. I mean, you know, I don't think we have enough of that in life. But there are just times I feel like he's operating in like a parallel universe, like that he just clearly, truly doesn't understand what the role of a city council member is. Is that a fair criticism?
Yeah, I think I see that sometimes in a city council member where they feel they should have maybe more power and more authority than they really do.
Now, is his suggestion recently that he should be running ESDA? I found this. I have a copy of a letter sent to the city manager and to the city council. The safety of the people is the highest law. He's always got a headline, this guy. Now, you're in the headline business. I guess headlines are important, but it seems to be it's gimmicky, but that's his thing. He wants to know what his official duties are in case there is an emergency or some sort of disaster. Now, why would he be... Is anybody looking to Bill Faber in an emergency or disaster? Why does he feel like that should be a role a city council member plays?
I'm not sure. I know that, I was asked about it, by someone in authority at the council member. And I explained, what my duties were when I was mayor, and we had mock disasters and some other. And my duty pretty much was to stay out of the way. And I think that's the duty of all council members. There's no authority there. They're not trained, as our professionals are, the police, the sheriff, everyone. And my feeling and the feeling of others on council for the most part is stay out of the way.
Okay, but here's the problem. It's one thing to ask, but I'm just going to read you the letter he sent to the city manager and CC'd all of the city council members. Thank you for your message of July 4th. You said that in a city emergency, there are no formal responsibilities or duties for council members. I'm afraid the message does not help me in my effort to understand what I may do to serve the community under city emergency circumstances. Staying safely at home would seem to betray my responsibility as an elected official. So my request to you is if there are no existing duties, then formulate some for me. I'd like to know what to do before an emergency is upon us. You recall that I met with Lieutenant Root twice and with you once. Still, I received no direction. Now, first of all, Lieutenant Root is a staff member of the Macon County Sheriff's Office, which Bill Faber has zero.
Yeah.
So he's now wasted two meetings with Jim Root, who has other things to do, I would assume. And then if you don't have any duties, formulate some for me.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the kind of stuff that drives staff crazy, right?
Oh, you're exactly right. And I did write a response to that request and explaining that was passed on to, as far as I know, to Councilman Faber. And it was kind of like, yeah, but. Yeah, and then two city council members have written him very strong letters since he's gone after the city manager and that. And just like they recognize, there's not a place for a city council member to be involved. If you want to be involved.
Like, I mean, what, is he going to ride Burrito or Tonto or whatever the hell the new horse is? I like about how, staying at home betrays my responsibility. This guy won't walk through Fairview Park without a baseball bat. And yet now all of a sudden, and in some sort of natural disaster, we got a nuclear Clinton meltdown or something. Bill Faber's in charge. I mean, it seems so out of touch.
Well, it's not going anywhere either. I mean, the majority of the council members and particularly the ones I've talked with think it's an idea that's just not going to fly. It's an idea apparently that's not going away. And, my feeling was, and I wrote this in my response to that I believe that he saw and that he read was, if you want to help maybe clean up after a disaster in your neighborhood, you can do that as a private citizen.
Get
or a
blood.
Councilman. Yeah. You can become a member, a volunteer for the Red Cross, mm-hmm. Do things like that. You can do that as a private citizen. There is no role for a city council member to be involved in a leadership capacity or involved in ESDA or something.
Why would you even want to? I mean, the essence of this story is what sort of drives me a little batty about Councilman Faber is that I don't understand the motivation.
Yeah, it surprised me.
Is it truly to help? Okay. As you just mentioned, there's any number of ways you can help. We can all help.
Yeah.
If there's a disaster.
Well, I tell you what, my role was as the spokesperson for the city. If there was information available, then the mayor spoke to the.
And certainly one would think that the face or the voice of the city would be the mayor.
Yeah, and but as far as being involved in what was happening in that was, I was in on these mock disaster, and everyone there had their role. They had the job, the hospitals, the sheriff's office, everybody.
Tell me if I'm just going way too far, that when I close my eyes, just envision him handing out business cards for potential lawsuits after a disaster.
Oh, I don't know about that, but I...
Hey, that injury looks pretty severe there, pal.
Yeah, no, I guess I wouldn't go that far, but I can see where your mind might go that direction.
I'm just trying to figure it out. But then directing the city manager to create...
Yeah.
I mean, I would assume the city manager has better things to do.
Well, I think also some people
look. This is now two meetings, multiple emails and calls. Yeah. I mean, this is time that you can't get back.
Well, I think also if you compare Decatur, say, to another city, maybe that city has an automatic form of government. Maybe an alderman would feel some responsibility for his particular district, but still I wouldn't see him having a role. And, you know, you have these trained professionals. You know, do you want to go out and be involved in surgery somewhere at the hospital?
I'm just curious why he thought why, and then not only is he, he's taking the city manager's time, he's taking the rest of the council's time, they're responding, but Jim Root isn't even a City of Decatur employee. He's had two meetings with him over his role as a city council member. I mean, does he even understand how government works in this? Yeah. I mean, Jim Root doesn't work for the City of Decatur.
Well, yeah, and I think probably it's a matter of courtesy, like a city council.
Oh, sure, I can understand why Jim would do it. Yeah. But I'm saying that's two meetings Jim can't get back.
Yeah, that's right. But I had the opportunity to read the letters that two council members wrote to Bill Faber, and they were very pointed and very directed, just basically saying, you do not do this kind of thing.
Yeah, it just makes you wonder how many of these conversations, not just this issue, but any issue, are wasting the time of staff and management on a week-in, week-out basis.
You know, and you mentioned, I've known Bill for decades, really, and we used to, I think I mentioned before, play basketball together. And always enjoyed his company. It was always a lot of fun to be with. Never talked politics or anything like that. And so it puzzles me at times because I see Bill now. I'll see him walking down the street. We'll stop and chat. You know, extremely friendly. But I don't really understand that, you know, this push for the people to be represented. And yet there are all kinds of committees you could be appointed to. When I was mayor, I had to go out and beg people to be a part of about 20 boards or committees want to be involved. The opportunity is there. And I think, you know, reaching out to the people, I think we have some council members that go to meetings, go to neighborhoods. Yeah. We have neighborhood walks.
Also interesting, he has his own letterhead. Do you ever have your own letterhead?
Yeah.
Not the city letterhead. I mean, it's Bill Faber, Decatur, Illinois, with a horse, and then it says councilman. Hmm. So, I mean, he had letterhead printed.
Yeah, I guess you can do that.
I know. I just think it speaks to what we're talking about. I just, you know, the idea of, you know, he buys this column in the Tribune, which is, I mean, you know, that's fine. Free market capital. I mean, you know, no problem with that at all. It's just sort of like he tries so hard to be involved when it isn't that hard to be involved.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that troubles me because I think I see more and more this council, you know, trying to hang on the mayor and others, you know, for a direction to keep going. And then you have to deal with things like this. And it's not like saying, no, you know, this is something we don't do. It's just like, that's not good enough.
Yeah. Now, have you been watching the council, you know, lately? It seems like Pat McDaniel has shifted the dynamic a bit in his own approach to things. Now, maybe I'm just imagining more to this than there is. And it seems like Bill Faber's ally is beginning to sort of be David Horn. I mean, like there's been, since the election, a shift.
Yeah,
concur with that?
Well, yeah, exactly right. And I think I think David Horn, and that was a little bit of what we talked about right before the election. We're a little concerned that maybe there would be a lot of attention paid by candidate David Horn if he was elected to maybe things that didn't directly impact on the city council. And I see that one of the strongest letters written to Bill Faber came from Pat McDaniel.
Yeah, but that seems to be, I mean, that's relatively new.
Yeah, and I think, in fact, I stopped to eat last night, and Pat McDaniel was in there. So he came over and talked to me. We talked a little bit about this. And he's very adamant about the fact that, you know, we need to stay focused.
And see, Pat, I mean, that's what we've been talking about for like 4 years. I mean, I think maybe Pat liked getting like endorsed and liked having people say some positive things about it. He's like, well, if you're not the negative guy to everything, I mean, you're part of the team and pulling in the same direction, life is a little better.
Yeah, and I think he feels that. I think he tries to work closely with the mayor and. But I see him getting upset about some of these things that, say, Bill Faber or David Horn, are doing, David Horn to a lesser degree.
Yeah.
But I think it probably emboldens Bill Faber somewhat to feel that he can get this out there. But I think, the council basically has said, and a couple of council members have also told him, this is not going anywhere. Let's move on, you know, to things that matter. One thing I will say, that Bill probably should do more is, get out and meet the public more.
Go to something.
Pat
goes to everything.
Yeah.
The only time I ever see Bill Faber is walking in and out of this building.
Yeah.
And at a council meeting.
And maybe he's really busy in that, but I
don't know. If he's busy, quit asking for more responsibility.
Yeah, but I think I always found that to be, a good way to find out what the people's thinking, what the people are thinking, and, go to some of these meetings.
At any major thing, ribbon cutting, and I know you can't go to everything, and you did a good job of it. I think Julie's doing a good job of it. Mayor McElroy did a good job of it. Every major thing that happens, an announcement, millions of dollars being donated, huge project. I have not seen Bill Faber show up at a single one of these entire time he was running for office or has been in office.
Yeah, and if you're going to run and you can understand time constraints by someone that's on council, but you have to take that into consideration.
Yeah.
And I know one of my opponents, when I ran from here, asked me directly, said, are you going to have to do this kind of thing if you're elected, like cut ribbons and things like that? I said, yeah, that's what the job's about. It's just like, you don't run that just to go to a council meeting or something. You reach out in the community. I
say this in particular about Councilman Faber because he's always the first one to tell us we're doing it wrong, but he never shows up to actually see eyes on himself what's actually happening.
Yeah, and I just wish Bill would maybe go out in the community more and talk to people. As you mentioned, Council McDaniel.
Maybe he's not really here, Paul. Maybe it is an alternative dimension. I don't get it.
I think it'd be better for him, and I think it'd be better for the community. I know I went down in a lot of the churches and spoke to them, inner city churches of that, and they invited me in to speak. Everywhere I was invited, I went. I got to know their needs and what they were about, and I think that's what you do. You go down and you talk to people. You meet them. When they have special meetings, go there. You'll learn a lot.
Yeah, I think so. We'll get back on the other side of the break. We're going to get to the reaction from last week's interview with Bill Mitchell and the reaction to Sue Scheer. And what I'm seeing just over and over and over, Chavin Rose, the only our only elected official who voted against this. I know Sue Scheer will argue that she did, but effectively by voting for the override, she did vote for this tax increase. I don't care what they're going to say in a direct mail piece in their next election. We can get to what you're hearing out there in public over the last week as well. Paul Osborne in the studios. Here's Lindsay Romano with your three-day forecast.
Showers, thunderstorms likely later this afternoon. Highs around 88 degrees. For tonight, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms with cloudy skies and lows around 70 degrees. Friday, mostly sunny, highs near 82. Saturday, sunshine, highs near 83 degrees. Right now in downtown Decatur, it is 78 degrees.
Hi, JR here from Speed Lube. On behalf of everyone at Speed Lube, we would like to thank you, Decatur, and the entire Central Illinois community for helping us to enjoy over 37 years in business. We know without you, this would not be possible. Your satisfaction is our number one priority. It's exciting and rewarding to see so many of our loyal customers come back time and time again. We appreciate your business and thank you for your continued patronage. We hope if you need any vehicle maintenance, you'll think of Speed Lube first. Please come in and visit any of our six area locations or our complete auto care center soon. Thanks again for 37 great years and for many more to come.
Hi, I'm Chris Krug, publisher of the Illinois News Network. We've redesigned our digital news home. If you're new to us, you'll appreciate the thoroughness and quality of reporting at ilnews.org. Our team of journalists provides truth and a rare sensibility that gets below the surface. We report on what's happening in Springfield in real time with frequent updates. No other news media provides the level of coverage and commentary found at the all-new ilnews.org. I invite you to read the most relevant news stories from the State House and across the state. Honest, insightful, all about Illinois. ilnews.org.
Hi, this is Pat McElroy, and I want to invite you to join my family and our friends as we remember my brother, Mayor Mike Tuna McElroy, at the second annual McElroy Memorial Golf Outing on Friday, July 21st at Hickory Point Golf Course. The McElroy Memorial pays tribute to Tuna's legacy. The golf outing also benefits children, adults, and families at the Decatur Family YMCA. I hope to see you at this year's outing and that you'll join me in toasting the memory of my brother, Tuna, after a great day of golf. For more information, visit DecaturYMCA.org.
With roots in agriculture, manufacturing, production, we've emerged as a global force. It's a transformation. Logistics services, food and ingredients, biotechnology, health and medical science. Innovation at its finest every single day. These careers are waiting for you. visit careersdecatur.com. We are Decatur and Macon County, and we are limitless.
You're listening to Buyers and Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Greg writes in, after a nuclear attack, Senorita could be the first one out of the bunker to test the air quality. That's poor taste, Greg. I think Senorita passed away. There's a new one.
She did.
Yeah.
She did.
I don't know what the name of the new horse is, but there is a new one, right?
Rest
yeah.
In peace.
Yeah.
Okay. Your reaction over the last week, not just necessarily to Bill Mitchell's call in. I know you wrote about that in the Tribune. Not just that, but just as you've talked to people after the spending plan, the vote for the tax increase, the governor's veto, and then the override. What has been the reaction to the folks you're talking to?
It's been 95% against Bill Mitchell. It really is. And I think the people have talked to me and some business people have talked to me felt they were betrayed, you know, by him, that they elected him to represent them. He was an anti-tax increase person. And I think Andy Menar and Sue Scheer, I think people – pretty much expected them to go.
Although Sue didn't. I mean, Sue went a very sort of like check a box kind of way about this, right? Which seems to inflame. It was very political.
Yeah. Well, and then you can obviously you can point back and say I didn't vote
for a tax increase. Yeah. But that's not true.
Yeah. In essence, you did when you overrode the governor's veto. But I don't know. I guess I'm just really tired of all the finger pointing in Springfield. You know, I wish they would do something for us. I mean, the people that represent us over there, Mike Madigan, and even on the other side, give Governor Rauner, you know, I guess some heat for this. You know, if people need to get together, and if you can't get together and solve these problems, I'm not going to pay any more taxes anymore. I think the thing that disturbs me is they increase our taxes, but there's no reform involved. No actual
there's
reform
nothing,
involved.
Nothing at all. And they're lying to themselves if they believe that there is. It was interesting, the social media, the Facebook post of the podcast of last Thursday's City Hall Insider program when Bill Mitchell called in, reached 46,000 people, had over 1,000 comments and shares. And that's more people than voted for Representative Mitchell in his entire district last time.
Yeah, I think
I mean, that's not a few people. That's a lot of people that are upset.
Yeah, and if they're upset, they're influencing other people, too. That they're bringing out the upset people that maybe are keeping quiet. And I don't know. I would be, if I was going to run for reelection, and I assume Bill is, I'd be a little concerned about this because in the case, as I mentioned, of Sue Scheer and also Andy Menar, I think when we talked about it, I wasn't really surprised at how that turned out. And that was before the override.
Yes.
I think we agreed that they were going to override the governor's veto. But Bill's always run on a platform that I never vote for a tax increase.
Well, and the outrage over Governor Quinn and what he did, and now you did even worse because this is permanent, not temporary. I mean, how can you take that approach last time and this approach this time?
Yeah, and it's the ripple effect on this is just everywhere. I mean, you're talking not only about asking people or telling people they're going to be paying more taxes, you're going to cause some businesses that are left here to raise their prices to deal with
you. It impacts everyone.
It just ripples on, and you cause people that are looking to come to Illinois or Decatur to take a second look, a third look.
Didn't solve a thing. We're going to be right back here next year.
You'll have less people paying taxes.
Yep, that's exactly right. We'll take a break for the news. Back with more with the City Hall Insider right after this.
WSOY News Time 729. Good morning, I'm Brett Surfowski. Summertime can be a great time for kids, but not so much when they don't know when they will get their next meal. The Decatur Park District says that they are helping children stay healthy and fed by offering free lunches during the week at local parks. Jamie Gower is the Director of Recreation and Facilities for the Park District. He said that children who participate in the program often receive help during the school year.
A lot of the same kids that we serve are also served through the free lunch program at the school district. So we want to continue that through the summer. It's also nice for them to be able to show up with the parks and be with our park leaders with some of the activities. It's just nice to keep them active and some socialization skills as well.
The park leaders are volunteers who spend an hour at each park to serve lunches and play games with the children. A full list of the lunch locations is available on nowdecatur.com. More local news is coming up after Fox News covers your world on WSOY. It's 7:30.
President Trump is overseas getting a welcome from the French president in Paris shortly.
Tomorrow was France marks Bastille Day, which really is its version, if you will, of the 4th of July. The president will be the guest of honor at the annual Bastille Day parade. This year marks the 100th anniversary of the entry of U.S. troops into World War I. There will be a contingent of American service members who are participating in that parade.
Fox's John Roberts in Paris. Here at home, the fight to repeal and replace Obamacare continues. Senate Republicans set to unveil their new bill today. One of the no votes, Senator Rand Paul, a conservative.
It keeps about half of the Obamacare taxes. It keeps most of the Obamacare regulations. It keeps most of the Obamacare subsidies.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's also trying to win support from moderate Republicans. Fox News, we report, you decide.
WSOY News time is 7:31. Good morning, I'm Brett Cerfowski in the WSOY newsroom in downtown Decatur. Kids aged 8 through 10 can make a pinball machine on Saturday, July 22nd for a Kids Create workshop at the Illinois State Museum in Springfield. Kids will put their mechanical skills to the test as they make their machines out of recycled and found material. Pinball machines are the ultimate mix of engineering and art as the kids put the games together and make the artwork on the machines. All machines will be inspired by the Kings and Queens Pinball Imaginist and Chicago exhibit at the museum. All materials as well as a light snack will be provided. The workshop on July 22nd is from 1 to 4 and you must be registered by July 19th. The cost is $15 per child if you're a museum member and $20 for non-members. Back to Byers & Company in just a moment here on News Talk 1340 WSOY AM 103.3 FM and, of course, on NowDecatur.com. Your WSOY time, 7:32.
This summer, there's no need to sweat. Speed Lube offers air conditioning services, keeping you cool all summer long. And now is the best time to have your AC serviced. Speed Lube will have it running in tip-top shape before the blistering Central Illinois summer heat has you hot under the collar. Plan ahead and keep it cool. Visit Speed Lube's 6 Decatur locations or their locations in Lincoln and Clinton for their fast and convenient 10-minute oil change or to take advantage of their air conditioning services.
Newhoff Media and the Village of Mount Zion presents Chill on the Hill 2017 every Thursday at Fletcher Park. Join us this Thursday for the retro band, Bygones. Gates open at 6:30 with a concert starting at 7 p.m. Special thanks to additional sponsors, Mount Zion Chamber of Commerce, Kevin Fritchie, Brinkotter & Associates, Nelson's Catering, Thrive Magazine, Decatur Earth Mover Credit Union, Skep Distributing, and Bob Swartz with BKD. Summer just got a little better with the fourth annual Chill on the Hill.
Showers and thunderstorms likely, otherwise mostly cloudy and highs near 88. For tonight, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms with lows around 70 degrees. Friday, mostly sunny, highs near 82. Saturday, sunshine, highs near 83. Right now in downtown Decatur, it's 78 degrees, rather.
Tougher on sports on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
All right. Each and every weekday morning, we check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Mark is the executive sports editor of the Herald and Review. All right. Let's start with a little baseball.
I was thinking about the Cubs and the Cardinals and the uncertain second half of the baseball season, which for each team begins tomorrow. And I was trying to think of one player from each team who really needs to step up and deliver the goods in this second half. The problem is when you're two games under 500, after having already played 88 games, and each team has a 43-45 record, both the Cubs and the Cardinals need a lot more than one player to step up here in the second half. But in the spirit of that exercise, let's pick one who's being counted on to make a difference. And for the Cubs, I'm looking at pitcher Kyle Hendricks, who was placed on the disabled list back on June the 5th with tendonitis in his right hand. He's been out a long time. Remember, this is the guy who led the major leagues with the lowest earned run average in baseball last year. I think he was in the top three in the Cy Young voting. And he's only made 11 starts this season. So for a team whose starting pitching has been spotty at best, the Cubs really need Kyle Hendricks to come back healthy and effective in the second half. he had a successful rehab start at Tennessee the other night, and if there's no issues, he could be pitching this weekend when the Cubs are in Baltimore. For the Cardinals, you know, if you watch what they do, if a player isn't doing well, he's generally yanked. Case in point, Randall Grichuk, Aledmys Diaz, both of them shipped to the minors. But the one guy they stick with through thick and thin is right fielder Stephen Piscotty. They don't love Tommy Pham. They don't love Aledmys Diaz or Grichuk, but they love Stephen Piscotty. So he gets to keep playing no matter what. And even though he has badly underachieved in the first half, I am picking him as the guy who really has to play like the middle of the lineup run producer that he's expected to be. In the first half, he hit 240, six home runs, and 31 RBIs. I think he's a lot better than that, and I think they expect him to be a lot better than that. They need him to play the way he can, and they need him to do that starting tomorrow night in Pittsburgh. So each team needs more than one player improvement. There's no doubt about that. But Kyle Hendricks would be a good start for the Cubs. Stephen Piscotty would be a good start for the Cardinals.
All right. On the other side of the break, a little college football and a preview of tonight's Sport Talk. This look at Tupper on Sports brought to you by Save More Pharmacy in Mount Zion.
How many trips do you make to pick up prescriptions? If more than once, it's time to simplify your life. Sign up for one-trip scripts at Save More Pharmacy. All you need to do is choose the monthly refill date, and the pharmacists at Save More Pharmacy will verify and coordinate your medications for one convenient pickup date. That's all there is to it. One-trip scripts, only available at Save More Pharmacy. Call 864-0910 or stop in at 1410 Village Parkway in Mount Zion.
Back here with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, college football.
Well, it's just too hot and sticky to believe that we're on the cusp of football season, but we are. The preliminaries are already underway. Media day for the SEC is going on right now. And a week from Monday, we will be in Chicago where the 14 head coaches from the Big Ten will meet the media along with players from every team to talk about the 2017 season. Illinois football practice begins on July 31st. That's less than 3 weeks. And in late August, nationally, games will be played. Illinois opens its season at home on Saturday, September 2nd against Ball State. That opener kicks off at 11 a.m. But then Illinois will play three straight games in prime time, which the players like. They say they love playing under the lights, but which a lot of fans do not like. And here's the thing. Game two is Saturday, September 9th at home against Western Kentucky. That game kicks off at 7 o'clock. That game will not cause an uprising because college football is no stranger to Saturday night. But the following week, game three will be played in Tampa, Florida against South Florida on Friday night, September 15th. And the fourth game, which follows a bye week, will be back at Memorial Stadium on Friday, September 29th. That's the Big Ten opener against Nebraska at 7 o'clock, and that's when we will have an outrage from fans. Part of the Big Ten's new TV contract is allowing for some Friday night games, and the howling will come from those who have an interest in high school football, and there's a lot of people who have an interest in high school football. In my opinion, Friday night college football should be for the middling leagues that are starving for TV exposure. I think it's beneath the Big Ten, and I wish they had resisted this. The deal calls for six Friday night games each year for the next 6 years. You know, money talks, and TV networks want Friday night football programming because Saturday is already loaded. I don't like it. I don't think a lot of fans are going to like it. And if you say, well, Illinois will get some TV exposure at a time when there's not a lot of people, you know, when there's not a lot of other teams competing, yeah, but who sees it? Because normally you think a TV exposure is helping you with recruiting. All those recruits are playing football. Not a good deal. I think it's a mistake. Sport Talk 5 to 7 tonight with Tim Kaine. We'll talk about this. We'll talk about Illinois basketball. A lot of things kind of started to come into focus when we were over there in Champaign. And we'll talk about the second half of the baseball season beginning tomorrow night.
All right, my friend. We'll see you tonight. Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. We'll be back with the City Hall insider, Paul Osborne, after the Marquee Coffee break. Fresh roasting coffee, locally indicated for over 30 years. Marquee Coffee is the official drink of discernible coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
Hey, just got the email. Taking a big vacay, huh?
Yeah.
You're going to Hawaii. What's wrong with you?
We're flying out of O'Hare. I hate to drive. I hate paying to park. And I hate having to leave so early just to get there.
You need to get hooked up with Air Choice One. You can fly to Chicago or St. Louis right from here in Decatur.
You mean I could sleep in?
Yeah, and the security lines are so much shorter.
Yeah, but what about parking?
Parking is free. Look at it this way. You're saving yourself time and hassle. And if you're like most people, the last thing you want to do after a long flight is drive a few hours home.
So you're saying I can sleep in?
If anyone needs their beauty rest, it's you.
Let Decatur Airport be your gateway to the world. Book your flight to St. Louis or Chicago O'Hare on Air Choice One out of Decatur Airport. Then you can connect to any destination anywhere. Enjoy low fares, friendly service, free parking, and best of all, less hassle. With easy check-in, shorter security lines, and no frustrating big city traffic and hours in the car. Book your flight at 866-IFLY-VIP or visit airchoiceone.com.
Viewing Real Estate is a leader in the Central Illinois real estate market. We will strive to exceed your expectations, whether buying or selling. With the housing market heating up, give Viewing Real Estate a call today to explore your options. The team at Viewing Real Estate has the experience, the integrity, and the vision to make fully informed decisions to bring success to each client. Viewing Real Estate, giving you the personal attention you deserve. Call Viewing Real Estate at 450-8500 or go online to viewingrealestate.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Bill Rhodes, a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors. As someone who supports the community, I understand how important it is to shop local. 68 cents of every dollar spent goes right back into our community. Just imagine the impact if everyone shopped locally. So please, think twice before spending your dollars outside of Decatur. Let's put our hard-earned money back into the community. This message is brought to you by Bill Rhodes, a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors and Newhoff Media, Decatur.
When you need, spends a little too much time in the sun relief.
Yikes.
Ow, what the?
Attack of the angry mosquito relief.
Hey, watch this.
Scraped knees.
And an elbow.
Relief. You need Gold Bond Pain and Itch Relief Cream with lidocaine. Gold Bond has the maximum strength lidocaine available without a prescription and starts working on contact to numb away pain and itch. Gold Bond with lidocaine. Relief starts now. Use as directed.
This is Byers & Company on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here with the City Hall Insider, Paul Osborne, former mayor of Decatur, publisher of the Decatur Tribune. Thought it was ill-advised for the interim president and CEO of HSHS St. Mary's Hospital to write a letter to the editor saying that Bill Mitchell and Andy Menar and Sue Scheer had the political mettle to do the right thing.
Yeah, I agree.
For an organization that doesn't pay taxes, I know they're owed a lot of money, and I think they should absolutely be entitled to do whatever they can do to get that money that's owed to them by the state. But don't praise these lawmakers for raising the taxes on your patients and everyone else to help pay off your bills. I mean, it seems self-serving, and I get why you would do it behind the scenes, but why write a letter giving them political cover?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I actually, when I read that this morning in the Herald Review, that letter to the editor, I thought, wow, why would he do that? It's just like it doesn't make any sense to me, but, you know, what do I know? It just seems like you don't have to write that.
Well, I know, but Bill Mitchell used that when he called in. Do you remember, you know, the hospitals? Well, yeah. Like the hospitals are nonprofits, you know, so they're not taxed the same. I get that they're owed their money. I don't begrudge them wanting to get their money one single bit. But the way that you got them their money is nothing to brag about. And you certainly, I think, are completely... do whatever you want to do. I don't run the hospital, but I think it's just a bad move to publicly declare that Bill Mitchell and Sue Scheer showed political mettle.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they've done anything but in Springfield.
So many people feel they caved in. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand.
So Sue Scheer did the right thing voting against it, but then the right thing over. I mean, by her own account, you can't give her credit.
Well, in Bill Mitchell's case. He voted with Madigan twice. He did once, you know, in agreeing to the tax increase, and again in overriding the governor's veto. So basically, he cast two votes.
Yeah. Well, the last paragraph of this letter, I just think, is false. I recognize the state has a long way to go to get its fiscal house in order. Fortunately, Senator Menard, Representative Scheer, and Representative Mitchell had the right political mettle to ensure the state did not continue along a path of fiscal irresponsibility. That's just not true.
No. I think anyone who knows the history of this state, and this just didn't happen overnight.
No, and nor did they fix it.
Yeah, and this was not a fix, and those who will get paid, I'm glad they will get paid.
Yeah,
being paid on the taxpayer's back.
You are. I mean, yeah. So just say, hey, we're glad we got our money.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm glad you got your money too, but that's not it. That's not all of it.
I'm glad they voted that way because that means we'll get our money.
Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
Just don't write about their courage.
Yeah. And there's people that see that the other way, and as I say, I think particularly the focus I've heard and will be, this is something people will not forget, like other issues, was on Bill Mitchell, and I think Bill probably has taken a lot of heat personally on this, but. You know, when you go over there, you're sent over there, you're elected to go over there and do something positive for the people who sent you over there and for the state of Illinois. And I'm always a pretty optimistic guy, but that mess in Springfield just keeps getting worse.
And what they did maybe stemmed the bleeding for right now and threw a Band-Aid at a hurricane, but it's not doing anything to stem the fiscal irresponsibility of what they're doing. In fact, there's all kinds of, I mean, as the days go on and you actually read what they did, it's less and less.
Yeah, and I think also, as we mentioned last week too, if they said, here's a plan we've laid out, this is the way we're going to mm-hmm. reform and improve things in the state of Illinois, then I would feel, okay, I hate to pay more taxes, but I'd feel better about it because there's a plan in place. There's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Now, there was a response to a request about the 177 lawmakers and their 39-cent per mile travel reimbursement and their $111 per diem, which is going to cost the taxpayers at the very minimum $145,000 for them to go vote on this mess. And there were, I believe, let's see. Hang on one second. There was how many declined to accept this? 3/4 of Illinois state lawmakers accepted their per diem, which means not many said no. Senator Menard did not take the per diem money. Neither did Christine Redonia or Cullerton. But it appears to me, reading through the list of the people who accepted the per diem versus those who didn't, it looks like Chapin Rose, Bill Mitchell, and Sue Scheer all took their per diem. So just going over there to show their political courage, we had to pay them extra to do $111 a day, you get a lot of metal.
Yeah.
Most people have to work all year round.
Yeah, I think that's why people are so disturbed, and they've been upset for quite a while now, and we saw that in the last presidential election, and they're upset living in a state that seems to have no vision, no direction except tax me more, and we had a temporary income tax, addition to the income tax, and we thought that's going to get us over the hump, and that it did nothing. It did nothing at all. Just kicked the can down the road.
I talked to a business guy who talked to Bill Mitchell after this, and Bill Mitchell did the same thing with him as he did with us on the air last week. Well, I thought you'd be happy because you're owed $500,000. He said, so you're telling me I ought to be happy that from now on I got to pay you even more to get the money you already owe me? Tell me, in what area of earth would that make any sense outside of the world of politics?
Yeah, I've got to use my money to pay myself
off. Back. Yeah. Thank you. I'm very happy. That's a lot of political mettle you just showed.
Yeah. I feel bad from the standpoint that I like all these people. I know you do too. You know, Sue Scheer and I, we talk frequently. I like Sue. I do. I think the other side of this is, it doesn't mean I don't like you because of your vote. It means I just strongly disagree with some of the things that are happening over there because I don't think they're for the overall good of Illinois, and it's not moving forward. It's just holding us back. And that hole that we're digging for ourselves, that Bill Mitchell did, we're just digging a deeper hole. We're not climbing out of the hole.
I think what I dislike about them, meaning just in general, is this, like, they take the vote, and then there's this reaction, like, why are you mad at us? We did the hard thing. No, you didn't. You did the easy thing. You just taxed people more.
Yeah, and why are you surprised that we're outraged?
Yeah, are you not paying attention to anything? Yeah.
Or what would you do?
Yeah, what would you do? Well, I had a solution for that. What was your reaction to the interview last week as you made your rounds?
Yeah, I thought people felt that you beat up on Bill, and rightly so. I mean, if you're going to call in, I mentioned in my column, it's probably a mistake for him to call in because, you know, when you don't really have a defense, the worst thing you can do is call into this show and try to put up a defense because this is not a PR show. People should realize that. You better be able to defend your position. And I think that position that Bill took has no defense. And I think that was the problem he had. But I mentioned the cop. You really shredded his defense. And to me, for you, I know you hate taking off after people, but it was an easy one to do. I mean, every argument he put forth, you responded with something that made more sense. So anyway, that was my view of
it. Yeah, it was a lot of interesting conversations over the last week. Whenever you have one of those interviews, it's okay for the next week everywhere you go. You know, that's what people talk about. And most people agree. I think, and maybe I'm giving the people more credit than I should, but I think if the people in Springfield were able to lay out a case where they said, we're going to cut and we're going to cut and we're going to cut, and here's how we're going to change the way we do this, and here's what we're going to do, and all of that said, we're going to have a modest tax increase. I mean, if you laid out a plan, yeah. I think people would go, okay, I don't want to pay more, but if this is the way we can get our state out of this, then okay. But that's not what they did.
No, they just said, give us
more
money.
No reform.
Yeah.
None. And then what Bill Mitchell did, and I'm with you, I'm not surprised that Andy Menar voted for this. I'm not surprised that Sue Scheer, although the cynicism of her vote makes me angry, that I'll vote for the funding but not for the tax, but vote for the override. That's just silliness. Just do what you're – you know what I mean? That's just playing games. But I think what really angered me was the fact that they just didn't even – Rauner spent 2.5 years. And you can hate Governor Rauner, but Governor Rauner went over there and said, we got to fix this. And the only way we're going to fix this is if I play hardball. And the only way we're going to do that is if I hold it till it hurts so bad that they have to do something to fundamentally reform the way we're doing this, or else we're going to be stuck here forever. And Bill Mitchell threw that under the bus.
Yeah, he caved. He did. Yeah, he caved in.
Yeah.
And I guess my, you know, I look at this and I think, and I saw a headline and a photo, I think it was in the Herald or some other newspaper last week, of Madigan speaking, and it said, like, Madigan gives Rauner a defeat, you know. Hey, you give the people of Illinois a defeat. And I get so tired of seeing these political games played. It's about one up on the Republicans or one up on the Democrats. Well, it's about us.
Senator Menar will do this all the time. And I appreciate him coming on the show, and I always enjoy the time. But when I ask him about Mike Madigan, he says, well, I can't speak for the House. But you ask him about anything else, and he'll blame the governor. Well, you're not the guy. Why is it you can speak about this, but you can't speak about that?
Yeah, it's a political game over there, and we're the ones that never win anything.
No, we're caught right in the crossfire. Yeah.
And we pay for that process. And we said last week, you know, they live in a bubble over there. That's not the real Illinois. That's not the real world. This is the Illinois that you created, and you want us to keep financing.
Yeah, and it didn't happen in 2.5 years.
No, you can't blame Rauner for this happening. This has been going on for a long time. This debt did not accumulate in 2.5 years.
Which is why I'm trying to figure out, when it was a Democratic governor trying to do this, Bill Mitchell was apoplectic. When it's there was no other choice.
Yeah, and I think maybe they did, you know, need to take a closer look at the people they serve and less at the political party they belong to. And I know that's a pipe dream.
It's asking for a lot.
Yeah, it really is. But we're never going to be any better until you start concentrating on the people that you serve, the people of Illinois. You're hurting us.
Yeah.
You're killing us with what you're doing over there.
But they don't want to see it, and they don't care, and all you're doing is just being greedy and whining. You don't care about people if you take that argument, according to some. It's just crazy. All right, we'll take a break. One last one. Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Showers and thunderstorms likely later this afternoon with highs near 88 degrees. For tonight, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms with lows around 70 degrees. Friday, mostly sunny, highs near 82. Saturday, sunshine, highs near 83. Right now in downtown Decatur, it is 78 degrees.
Welcome to a place where healthcare goes beyond four walls, where friendships begin, where our family comes together to care for yours. At HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, you'll find outstanding physicians and some of the region's most advanced specialties. We're bringing it all together right here in Decatur, where something even better starts right now. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital and HSHS Medical Group, working together as part of Hospital Sisters Health System.
If you need to sell your home, it's your friend Sean Hannity here to tell you, even though this nation may be uncertain about a lot of things, selling your home doesn't have to be one of them. I'm going to make this very easy for you and tell you the one agent whose marketing plan is in a whole different league than anyone else you will talk to. I'm talking about Glenda Williamson. She services Decatur and the surrounding area and attracts hundreds of buyers every week and sells a home on average every 2 days. Now, because of that, she can guarantee to sell your home at an agreed price and deadline, or guess what? She'll buy it. Her national marketing plan got my attention, and you know what? She'll get your home the attention it needs to sell for the most money guaranteed. Now, if I lived in Decatur or surrounding areas and needed to sell my home, well, I would call Glenda Williamson. So call Glenda, 217-875-8081. That's 217-875-8081, or online at GlendaWillSellYourHome.com. That's GlendaWillSellYourHome.com. Go there, and you can start packing.
This summer, there's no need to sweat. Speed Lube offers air conditioning services, keeping you cool all summer long. And now is the best time to have your AC serviced. Speed Lube will have it running in tip-top shape before the blistering Central Illinois summer heat has you hot under the collar. Plan ahead and keep it cool. Visit Speed Lube's 6 Decatur locations, or their locations in Lincoln and Clinton, for their fast and convenient 10-minute oil change, or to take advantage of their air conditioning services.
You're listening to Buyers and Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
We're back here on a Thursday, and Paul Osborne is with us in the Tribune today. Center section 4 and 5, the scrapbook section, you have some great pieces about theaters of old. I'm not sure I remember anything about the Varsity Theater. Where was it?
It was out there on Westwood Street, kind of where the subway and that is at the corner of Wood and, what is that, Oakland?
Okay, yeah. So the west end side of town. Yeah. Of course, the Rogers was on Wood on the other side of town later.
Yeah, in the years. It used to be a lot of theaters.
Yeah, and then the Alhambra, which you write about. I haven't heard that for a long time.
Well, it's been gone probably for 50 years or more, but they had a kids club, and Roy Rogers came, you know, and back then the Cowboy Stars were really big. And, and a lot of the kids that are, you know, senior citizens now remember those theaters, remember going there, especially the Alhambra.
There's a great picture of a kid from the Roy Rogers Club with Roy Rogers and Trigger, which was the original Senorita, and that's a great photo.
Yeah, it is, and the kid in the photo, when I talked about this years ago, he said, you know, I was a member of the Roy Rogers Club and had my picture taken with Roy Rogers, so he brought the picture in.
Isn't it cool?
It really is. So it's really cool, all the comments you get from people that experienced those things. I mean, that's like firsthand history you're talking to. I was there. I was there, you know, and I look forward to those the cowboy movies and the, you know, Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, you know, all of them, Hopalong Cassidy. It's just like their eyes light up when you mention those, because that's a part of their childhood.
It's really cool stuff. One of the reasons I really enjoy the Tribune every week. Paul, as always, it's great seeing you. And you can check out the Decatur Tribune online. You can also get a subscription, a great way to keep family members or people who have moved away in touch once a week with the goings-on here in Decatur. As always, great stuff. The hour flies by. I don't know where it goes.
Thanks, Brian. I enjoy it.
Paul's got to run. He's got an emergency training meeting with Bill Faber and Clinton nuclear power plant. We're going to take a break for the news. We get back here, Coach is going to join us, I think, and then we got some other stuff as well, part of our Fox News all-star team, Tanya Powers. Stay tuned.
Get a daily recap of the info you need to know now with the Now Decatur Refresh. Access to the day's top news stories, interviews, videos, and more directly to your inbox. Sign up at nowdecatur.com with WSOY Decatur.
WSOY News Time is 7:59. Good morning, I'm Brett Cerfowski in the WSOY Newsroom here in downtown Decatur. A federal grand jury returned an indictment yesterday that charged Brent Christensen of Champaign with kidnapping visiting Chinese scholar Yingying Zhang on June the 9th. Christensen was previously arrested and charged by a criminal complaint on June 30th, and then on July 5th, U.S. Magistrate Judge Eric Long ordered that Christensen